Today is Chaf Sivan, and in recognition of that special day, that sad day, which as we'll see in the sources was declared as a fast day, and for Parshas Baaloscha, we'd like to investigate first and foremost the sin of Bnei Yisrael, which is recorded at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Bamidbar, Vayehi Ha'om Kimis Onanim, Rab Yoznei Hashem. This is some sort of a declaration, some sort of verbal speech on the part of Klal Yisrael that was evil, that was sin, and Vayishma Hashem, the response of Almighty God, was Vayichar Apo, Vativar Bom Eish Hashem. It's not clear what the sin of the Misonanim is. Rashi speaks about an alila, some sort of libel, Mevakshim alila hech lifrosh me'achorei amokom. The Ramban speaks about the complaining and the lack of appreciation for what God had bestowed upon them. In this context, I'd like to call your attention to the Chovas Halavovos. In the first parak of Shaar HaBechina, he introduces this discussion by saying that God has bestowed so much goodness upon His creatures. And he quotes the Pasuk in Tilim, Tov Hashem Lakol, God's goodness is for all of mankind. And yet, paradoxically, Rubam ki'ivrim mehekeron umehavin godol maloson. He compares most men to blind people who are incapable of acknowledging and understanding the great mila, that fantastic goodness that God has bestowed upon men. V'einam maskilim inyonam, implying a question, why, says Rabbeinu Bechai, is there such a phenomenon that people deny, they live in denial as far as recognizing the goodness that God has given them? Mipnei shlosha dvarim. He attributes this situation, the lack of gratitude, to three phenomenon. Echad, the first. He speaks about the fact that man desires to fulfill his tavos. Man is a pleasure seeker by nature. And of course, man dreams of a fantastic amount of pleasure that he's going to enjoy during this world. And yet, he's disappointed. A small fraction of what he aspires to actually is fulfilled, is implemented in his life. So where are the milui hataivos? And therefore, he, man, doesn't have the ability to become aware of the greatness and the goodness that he has received. V'tisma tena be'eneyem atovos harabos. Tiktena etzlam hamatonos hagdolos, such a choshvim kolatova sheyesh lizulasam, kilu nishala mehem. They begin to fantasize about the possibility that others around them enjoy greater pleasures than they. So instead of appreciating what they have, they complain about what they don't have. It's a kind of jealousy that's a result of hedonistic pleasure, the desire to fulfill one's tavos. And in the words of Rabbeinu Bechai, Yisalmu mehabeit el hatovos habore aleihem. They are unable to recognize and focus on the goodness that the Creator has bestowed upon them. The second explanation, Asheni, is that man gets so used to what he has. He's so accustomed. He says, "Is galgalam bohen ad Sheshavu etzlam regilos v'yiduos. They become so accustomed to all the good things that they have, they don't pay attention to them. They don't recognize what they have. V'einam misimim alibam chiyuv ha'hoda aleihem. With regard to all the tova that God has bestowed upon man, they fail to recognize, to concentrate, to focus their attention on their obligation to thank Hashem, to express gratitude. Mipnei she'einam yodim malas hatova v'ametiv ba aleihem. They fail to appreciate the mila, the greatness of what God has given them, because they're so used to what they have. They take everything for granted. So whereas in the first category, the source, the root of the problem is that man wants so much and claims or perceives that he has so little. In the second source of the lack of gratitude, man gets so used to what he has, he takes everything for granted. His life is a given, and so too all the luxuries that he has, he doesn't pay any attention. He doesn't recognize and appreciate what he has. Vashlishi, and the third source of the problem, is mipnei inyonei ahefseid begufam uvimamonam. That man complains about his suffering. Shemotzi ba'olam minei hapgaim. He finds that he is the victim, Nebuch, of different parts of or sources of suffering, both physically and financially. And he never entertains the possibility, lo hevinu sibos ofane tovasam behem, v'toel sanisoyen v'amusar behem. There's no recognition of the fact that even that which is lacking, that which is deficient in man's life, that too is goodness bestowed upon him by God for a toelis, for a purpose. It may be a test. It may be given to man to rise to a higher level. It's a cathartic experience. It's musolahem. And Rabbeinu Bechai invokes the pasuk in Tilim Tzadidalid, Ashrei Hagever, Asher Tiasrenu Ka Umitoroscha Selamdenu. Fortunate is he who accepts suffering as a matter of guidance, as teaching. It's a moral refinement of character. Vishachachu, but people forget this. And rather, they complain and focus on what they don't have, completely overlooking what they have. So just to summarize the three sources of the problem, number one, man focuses on what he really wants and doesn't have. Number two, he gets so used to what he does have, he doesn't pay any attention to it, doesn't acknowledge its greatness. And finally, he focuses his attention on what he doesn't have, on those little kvetches and sufferings and hefsedos that he has, instead of focusing on what he does have. He looks at the hole rather than the donut. And Rabbeinu Bechai concludes this presentation by saying the following. He says, Kevan shu kein, hischaivu anshei hachochma vehamada lahoir mishlo haven tovus habore ulahoros b'deyodom ladas yisron b'derech sichlon. Sichlom, kit kamatovos, etc., etc. He speaks about the obligation incumbent upon people of wisdom, and I have no doubt that chokhmah here means chokhmas haTorah. The scholars of Torah should guide him, and mada, perhaps the scholars of the world who understand the natural wisdom of the world, they have insights into the created world of the Bore. And they have to be mora hora. They have to teach men. You have to have a Rebbe to teach you, to guide you morally, to appreciate the yisaron, those things that you have. And I believe in the light of this presentation of the Chovos HaLevavos as an introduction to the sin of the misononim, we should read the Ramban. He first begins by quoting the Ibn Ezra, who interprets the word misononim. The root of the word is avon, which is some sort of an ambiguous sin, it's not specified. The Ramban rejects the Ibn Ezra. Why would the Torah use this ambiguous term to, in a sense, conceal their sin, rather than reveal it? The Torah consistently reveals the nature of the sin of Bnei Yisrael throughout the desert. Vanochon b'enai, the Ramban suggests another pshat, ki kasher nisrachaku mihar Sinai, sheikorov liyishuv. Har Sinai was located close to a populated urban center, ubo b'tocha midbar agol vanora. The Ramban speaks about the desert in terms of its frightening greatness, its desolate nature, so far away from civilization, from the resources that are necessary for man. And this already happened, but Masa Harishon, immediately after they left Har Sinai, Hayum Mitztarim Biatzma, I would translate that as, they felt sorry for themselves. Lemar Manasa, they were overwhelmed with fear. How are we going to survive this? Ech Yichya Babidbar Zeh, Manochol Manishte, Ech Nisbol Ha'omel V'ha'inui U'masai Neitzim Mimeno. Man has a tendency of feeling there's no way out. It's going to continue and continue. When is the end going to come? When are we going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? How are we going to suffer all this? How are we going to endure all this suffering? And instead of focusing on what Hashem has done for them, all the nisim and the flows, the makos and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the destruction of the mitzvah in front of the very eyes at Kriyas Yamsuf, the other great miracles that God bestows upon them in the desert, nevertheless they focus on the Amel and the Inui, on all they'll have to endure during the time in the Midbar, the frightening wilderness. There's no balance here between their faith and their acknowledgement of what God has done for them to protect them, and their fear, their natural instinctual fear of the desert, that desolate area that seems so impossible to traverse. And the Ramban says that they were koavim umitztarim al atzma. They were really suffering and kvetching about themselves. And therefore, the hizkir achet, hizkir v'siper achet, it's not that the Torah is trying to conceal this. In Omar kimis onanim, they'll like misonanim, and miloshan onain, a person who is absolutely distraught. If Rachman al-Litzlani loses one of his close relatives, ki hayu medabrim b'mar nafsham, where they spoke about the morus, the marirus, I should say, the bitterness of their nefesh, kasher yasu akov, and we know those who are really suffering, they're in pain, they let out a krechts, b'mar nafsham, and v'hoya rabbi eni Hashem. This was absolutely unacceptable in the eyes of God. And I would say that the Ramban's presentation of the Misonanim is probably closest to the third paragraph or the third source of the lack of gratitude as presented by the Chovos HaLevavos. Namely, they were focused on the Hefseid of their goof and their mama and the difficult challenges and sufferings they'd have to endure in the desert. When would they get out and how would they finally live a normal life? Why was Hashem taking them so far from the Yishuv, from civilization, where they can enjoy all the benefits that they need, all the resources? But I think the next line in the Ramban perhaps takes us one step earlier in Rabbeinu Bachai. He says, "Hayo Rabbi, Eini Hashem Shoyalem Leleches Achrav B'Simcha Uvituv Levav." Perhaps what the Ramban is referring to is, don't take things for granted. Focus on the good. They perhaps got used to the divine providence and the protection that they received from Almighty God, but rather, instead of getting used to it and putting it in the back of your conscious mind, bring it up front. Not in some sort of deep down latent awareness, but be acutely aware, b'simcha b'tuv levav, with a great deal of joy and happiness, mirov kol tov asher nasan lehem, focus on that which God has given you, has granted you. So within the Ramban's frame of reference, I see the Misonim as an overlap of the last two categories of the Chovos HaLevavos. The first category seems to be omitted, the emphasis on man's insatiable dream, fantasy for taiva, in which he's disappointed in what he has, perhaps jealous of others who he thinks in his perception have more than him. That doesn't seem to play, doesn't seem to emerge on the surface of it in the chet of the misonim. But nevertheless, I do see the first explanation of Rabbeinu Bachai for lack of gratitude, perhaps not in this pasuk that we referred to, pasuk Aleph in Perek Yud Aleph, but perhaps in pasuk Gimel. And we're going to see that the punishment for pasuk Aleph for the misonanim, Vativar Bam Eish, which is followed by the naming of the place, the location where this occurred in pasuk Beis, pasuk Gimel Vayikra Shema Makom Ahu Tav'era. And I think this Tav'era, which refers to the Eish Shebar Abam Vativar Bam Eish Hashem in pasuk Aleph, as a result in the wake of the misonanim, that word Eish, I think, symbolically conveys the message, the concept of the Eish of Ta'ava, of man's insatiable desires. And that we find immediately in the aftermath of Misonanim. Perhaps it's more likely an extension of the sin of Misonanim. In Pasuk Dalet Vasafsuf Asher Bekirbo Hisavu Taiva. This is called the famous episode of Kivras HaTava, where they had insatiable desire. Vayeshuvu Vayivku Gam Bnei Yisrael Vayomu Mi Achilenu Basar. It's not just the Asafsuf, the Erev Rav, that Rashi mentions here, but it's also Gam Bnei Yisrael, Rashi says, in Dibra Masel Vayeshuvu. It means that the crying, which may have been initiated by the Erev Rav, by sheer contagion, spread and infected the entire Jewish people. Bnei Yisrael Vayivku Imaim. And what were they crying about? Mi Achilenu Basar. Some say that they weren't satiated by the pleasures of eating man. The Kli Yakar has a long discussion, and others, because the man was spiritual food, lechem abirim. It had the ability to satiate man and his hunger on a physical level, but it didn't have the taiva, the appetite, the enjoyment element of it. But others, and you'll see this in Chazal throughout, the basar here, the flesh, is symbolic of other hedonistic pleasures, specifically arayos. And we'll see this in Pasuk Yud, Vayivku. It says about that crying, Esaram Bochel Mishpachosav, says Rashi, L'mishpachosav al iske mishpachos al arayos ha'nesoros lehem. And in this context of a great desire for pleasure, his avu taiva, they activated their need for pleasure. And they came up with all sorts of fantasies about Mitzrayim, as if the life in Mitzrayim was so much more pleasurable and enjoyable, so many pleasures that they achieved. And once again, the punishment is very severe. Although it took a month, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel gave them basar to eat, but the Torah warns Bnei Yisrael. This is in Pasuk Yutes, you'll see, Lo yom echad tochlun v'lo yomayim, v'lo chamish yom, v'lo asor yom, v'lo esrim yom, ad chodesh yomim, ad asher yetze me'apchem, until it comes out of your nose. And if you take a look at Rashi on that Pasuk, Rashi says, ad chodesh yomim zubik sherim, the best of them, and it lasted for a month. And Rashi continues that they got sick from this eating basar, v'achach nishmoseyam yotza, their nishamos left them, they died. So the punishment is very severe. V'ach Hashem chara ba'am, v'ayach Hashem ba'am maka rabba ma'od. So that if we could possibly present the following thesis, the chet of the misonanim and the chet of the misavim is really one and the same. It's an extension. The Torah doesn't even indicate that there was any pesek zman between one chet and the other. It seems to have followed literally on the same day. A raya for this I could bring perhaps from the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni on Vasafsuf Hashem Bekirbo Isavu Sava writes, Kol Zehoya Bishlosha Yomim Bi Esrim Bi Iyar V'chaf Aleph Bo V'chaf Beis Bo. So we're talking about the Chet of the Misavim occurring on three calendar dates, the 20th of Iyar and the 21st and the 22nd. From whence does the Chizkuni derive these three dates? Well, if you look back in Pasuk Lamed Gimel of Perek Yud, the Torah says the following, Vayis'u Mehar Hashem, this is the first of the Masos, when they left the Har Hashem, Derech Shloshes Yomim was a three-day trip. And if you look at the Chizkuni, Derech Shloshes Yomim, he points out that Mishanasu Misinai Asu Bachaniya Rishona. He says Shloshi Yom Mahalach Shloshi Yomim Heim Esrim Beir Chaf Aleph Bo VeChaf Beis Bo. Once again, specifying these three calendar dates: the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of Iyar. All this comes from the earlier part of Pasuk of Perek Yud. The introduction to this perek. Let's take a look back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayhi Bashana Hashenis, Bachodesh Hasheni. So Nisan is the month of Geula, the first month of the year. The second month is Sivan. Is Iyar. Bachodesh Hasheni. That's Iyar. Biyasrim Bachodesh on the 20th of the month. So Vayisu Me'ar Hashem Shloshes Yomim, Derech Shloshes Yomim means the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of Iyar. And that's exactly when these Chatoim took place, both the Misonanim and the Misavim, according to the Chizkuni. And it's logical to assume then that it's all part of one Chet. The Misonanim complained, as the Ramban said, focusing on their troubles, their fears of the desert, rather than on the goodness that they had gotten so used to that God had bestowed upon them, taking them out of Mitzrayim, etc. And now, to focus on the other dimension of the Taiva, instead of enjoying the benefits of what they had, of the man and the Slav, instead they're complaining because their Taivas are not fulfilled. And they generate within themselves a need for pleasure. And within that context, they're unhappy. It's an extension of the Misonanim who are not happy. They cannot express and appreciate the gratitude for what they have because they're focused on what they want, what they desire, and what they don't have. It's all one package. And when does the destruction, the severe punishment, come to its fruition? 30 days later. So if the sin began on the 20th of Iyar, then the destruction, at least according to Rashi, the case of the Ksherim, began on the 20th of Sivan, which is today's date. And as I said at the outset, the 20th of Sivan is commemorated as a sad day in Jewish history. It's a fast day. And we'll see this over and over again throughout the sources. The Magen Avraham quotes it in Siman Tav Kof Pei, Yesh Noagim, Gam Noagim, Lis Anos, Esrim B'Sivan, on the 20th of Sivan, B'chol Malchus Polin, in Siman Tav Kof Samaches, he has a suffix, what happens if a Sudas Mitzvah coincides with the 20th of Sivan, that's today, within the Malchus of Poland, in Mutal Lechol Besudas Mitzvah. And he says, Miu, he says, Bismanenu, generally speaking, people make their Sudas Mitzvah at night, so you can still obtain both the Sudas Mitzvah at night and the fast day during the day. However, he leaves an open-ended question: what happens if the 20th of Sivan coincides with Erev Shabbos? And the problem is that to postpone the Sudas Mitzvah till night, which would be Shabbos in this case, it would be very difficult to gather together the people. And the Mogen Avraham says that in such a case it happened, it actually happened such a case, and the Rav was Matir, setting up the Sudas Mitzvah on Chaf Sivan itself, trumping the Tainus. The Mogen Avraham doesn't explain why in Malchus Polin they commemorated the 20th of Sivan as a fast day, but you'll see this in many other sources. The Shari Tshuva, which is published in our version of the Mishnah Brura, here in Siman Tav Kuf Pei, and you'll see it in the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emdin, and in the Sefer, the famous Sefer Yisod V'Shor Shavod of Rav Alexander Ziskind Meharadna. I'll read to you some of the Lashonos just to put you in the mood for what today would have been a fast day, except that we never accepted that minog. And the 20th of Sivan is a sad day. He says, Chaf Bo, this is from Rav Yaakov Emdin, on the 20th of Sivan, Kavo Tainis, Achinu B'nei Polin. And why? Al Shahayu Gzeros Gedolos B'Polin V'Ukraina B'Shnas Tach V'Tat Li'Elef Hashishi. This is in the late 17th century, when we suffered so many pogroms. Nishpach Dam Yisrael Kimayim. The blood of the Jewish people flowed like water. V'alkein hagdolim shayu oz gazru al zetainis u'bechir b'yom zebechol shana l'konein u'levakos v'livkos u'litztair al harigas hatzadikim v'chasidim u'klal Yisrael b'misos achzorios mishunos. This is all part of the continuous persecution of the Jews, the pogroms that we know from later periods of time, crusades in earlier periods of time, the destruction of communities, of tzaddikim, of chassidim, of klal Yisrael. He says, not only are we crying and fasting for the tzar that we have on the death of these tzaddikim, but also al tzar haborei yisparach. We have to identify kaviyochol with Almighty God's pain and suffering, shehigilo oz. So it's not just enough that on this fast day we mitztayer on the physical suffering. He says the shvatim kashim umarim that the tzaddikim and the chassidim suffered. But we should also have in mind, he says, yichavin b'chol yom tainis zeh, during the entire 12 hours of this fast day, yachshov lo lavoda gedol labore yisparach, uschor ahar b'miod, levad haschar mima shenechshav lo ki'ilu hikriv, Chelbo v'domal mizbech. Every tainus, the Gemara says, is like bringing chelav v'dam, the miut chelav v'domi, the Gemara in tainus and elsewhere, as a result of fasting, but also the avoda gedola of having the kavana of tsar on harigas tzaddikim, the tsar of the borei yisparach that we identify with and commensurate with. In the Yisod v'shor shavoda, he writes, Ikar Yisod Tainis Shel Chaf Sivan Shoyah B'Eis Tzor Yaakov Gzeros U'Shmados Gedolos B'Shnat Tach V'Tat Le'Elef Hashishi. Again, almost the identical language of Rav Yaakov Emdin. V'Nishpach Domam Shel Uma Kedoshe Yisrael Shofu Domam Kamayim Svivav Tzorav HaGedolam Asher Hoyu Ba'aretz Kadbador Ahu Gozer Al Zeh Tainis Kavu b'chil l'doros yom echad b'shana. V'shoresh ha-tainis al inyon zeh mefurish b'tor seinu ha-kedosha. Here, Rav Alexander Ziskin adds a new dimension. He says, where is it in the Torah that we find some sort of source or basis for the kiyum tainis, for the loss of tzaddikim and chassidim and communities that were destroyed? He says, we find it in Parashat Shmini b'misas nodav aviv b'ksiv. V'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreif asher sarf Hashem. He says, "Hare lufanecha mefurish yotzi mizeh shal misa satzadikim." The Torah is not just testifying to a reality that yivku es asreifa. Yivku means they actually cried, but rather yivku in the lashon tzivui. It's in the imperative chiyuv mutal kol ish mi Yisrael am kadosh lekonein velivkos ulitztayer. And therefore, this tainus of Chaf Sivan, Lases Alibo, Bechol Rega, every moment of the fast day of the 20th of Sivan should be utilized to think and concentrate Al Riga Satzadikim Achasidim, Val Klal Uma Yisraelis Akdosha, Shenergu Bemisos Achzorios, Mishunos, Nishpachtovim Beos Azman, Lakonin Litzar, Belibo Al Rigas Bonam Shal Mokom. Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo. Ubevada Ihoy Mizeh La Boris Baruch Shmo Tsar Gadol Kaviyochol. And he says something very interesting about the Tsar of Kaviyochol. In Nisharu B'chayim, and all these tzaddikim left alive, Hayu Lomdin Toroso Hakdosh, they would have studied his with a capital H Torah. Viosim Mitzvosav Hakdoshim Kol Yimeim Asherim Chayim Al Adoma. Those the fundamental tenet here is that we were created and placed on this world to bring Nachas Ruach Hashem, to bring Kol Asher Barasiv, everything that was created. Kvodo Barasiv was created for the covet of Hashem. And how this tragedy, these pogroms of Tach V'Tat, have undermined and truncated, completely removed that Nachas Ruach, that Kvod Hashem Yisbarach in this world that was meant to come through these tzaddikim, through these Lomdim Torah. And all that is lost. This is something that should impress, that we should be impressed with when we think about the Shoah amongst many, many different dimensions. But how much Torah, Limud Torah, and mitzvos, Asiyas HaMitzvos for Hashem Yisbarach, Nachas Ruach for Kvodo Yisbarach, was lost. The Chil Hashem is immense. It's beyond comprehension. And Chazal say that we should be morid mos for the Misa of Nadav Aviv for the Bnei Aaron. If we could only imagine had those Bnei Aaron survived and been part of the Mesoros, the transmission of the Torah, Rav Chaim Shulevitz's old shmooze about this, how much was lost in the Mesoros HaTorah, in our tradition, by the death of Nadav Aviv. And when we think about the tragedies of the Chalmoniki pogroms and other pogroms, anti-Semitic pogroms throughout history at the end of the 1600s and throughout Jewish history, how much of the tradition has been lost. And that's why most of Klal Yisrael today looks the way they do. They're so cut off from an understanding of what Torah is. He says, "Ein shichcha lefanav yisbarach shmo tzar zeshal rigas bonav anechmodim." A father doesn't forget the tzar of the death, of the murder of his own children. And here the children of Hashem were murdered. Hashem doesn't forget. There's no shichcha lefanav yisbarach shmo gamal atzar, not only on the death and the murder, but also on the suffering, the yisurei gufam. And all this we commemorate on the 20th of Sivan. It's not 100% clear why the 20th of Sivan was chosen. Take a look at the Shari Tshuva. He says, "Umashikov uhu bechof Sivan, afal pisha ya eis tzaret chufa shtei shanim v'gam acherkach." There were two consecutive years that were daily tragic pogroms, murders. Why focus on one day and why that day? He says, "Lefisha b'shanim kadmonim," in earlier times in Jewish history, and he mentions a year in which it was also a tragic, "Gamken Ace Tzorol Yaakov b'yom zeh," on the 20th of Sivan, and he refers to the slichos that we recite, the kinnos that mention that tragedy that took place during the Middle Ages on the 20th of Sivan. And this took place in France, as you'll see in the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emdin. Bishnas Tov Tov Kuf Lamed Aleph Hoysa Gzeras Kdoshe Bavluis. That's the city of Bitzarfas. Shenisrifu Al Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, the Shari Tshuva says that since there were so many tzaras during the period of Tach V'Tat, focused around the date of Chaf Sivan, and Chaf Sivan in previous centuries had been a day of tremendous tragedy and persecution of the Jews in France. Therefore, they chose the 20th of Sivan. Furthermore, he quotes the Shach. He says, "Bal Shach Kosav Shebacharu Biyom Zeh She'enom Chal B'Shabbos." The 20th of Sivan was a logical choice for this fast day because it never falls on Shabbos, so you never have to push it off. And now we could add perhaps a third reason for the choice of the day of Chaf, because the day of Chaf was Miud L'Peronios, like the Rambam says at the beginning of Perek Hei Milchus Tainius about Tisha B'Av, that's a day that's designated for Peronios over and over again, period, during different periods of time in Jewish history. And perhaps the beginning at least of the severe punishment against the crimes of the Jews of misonanim, hyphenated misavim, on Chaf Sivan, according to the way we saw in the Chizkuni, all this focuses on that one day. And if we get back to the punishment for the crime of the misonanim, here in Baloscha, the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, once again, the Torah testifies, Vayichar Apo, Vativar Bom Eish Hashem. There was an Eish Hashem. Interesting, the concept of Eish Hashem in the context of punishment. Vayitzak Ha'amel Moshe, Vayitzpalel Moshe Hashem, Vatishka Ha'esh. Interesting, the word Vatishka Ha'esh. Vatishka means it went down. And if you take a look at Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, the language is Vayitzak Moshe Hashem, Vatishka Ha'esh, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Osa ha'esh sheyarda min ha'shamayim shaka ba'aretz v'lo chazol l'mkabal ha'shamayim. This esh came down from shamayim. It was an esh Hashem, as we said, but it didn't go back to shamayim. But rather, as a result of Moshe's tefilos, it remained in the aretz. Vatishka means vatishka ba'aretz. The Radal, in his super commentary on Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, explains that although the Jews at that time were spared the full brunt of that Eish, but nevertheless the Eish would always be there in the Aretz as a warning sign, as a finger that's pointed to them and saying, be careful, don't fall to the same sins again. The punishment is still there lurking in the shadows. All it needs is to be brought out and actualized when the Eish comes out. But then Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar turns the tone to a much more joyful tone. He says, what happened with this Eish that didn't go back to Shamayim? El nichnas al yol moed. And what happened with this Eish in the old moed? V'chol ha-karbonos she'em akrivim Yisrael b'midbar. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he brought the karbonos, there was a tremendous miracle. And that occurred when the Eish came down from Shamayim to burn the karbonos. Is where did this Eish, which Eish came? The Eish that came to burn the carbon was that Eish of Lifnei Hashem that's described here, the Eish Hashem. So again, this Eish is very powerful. It's going to be the Eish that destroys Nadav Avihu, the Eish that's going to destroy the Bnei Korach, but it's also the Eish that burns the karbonos. And I thought that perhaps we could understand the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar on the high note by invoking the Ramban's chidush at the beginning of Vayikra. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, the Ramban takes sharp issue with the Rambam's understanding of what karbonos are all about. And we've spoken about this in the past. According to the Ramban, the inyan of karbonos is symbolic, in which man in a phenomenological way re-experiences the chait in his process of tshuva when he brings the karbon. And the Ramban writes, V'yisrof ba'esh hakerev v'akloyos. And what is the symbolism? The Ramban goes through every single part of the avodas hakarbon and the srefas hakerev v'akloyos, the innards and the kidneys, shem klei ha'machshova v'ataiva. These are the organs of thought and of the desire for pleasure. Two sources of sin, both require a Srefa Sa'esh in the carbon process. One is the Kerev, and the other is the Klayos. One is the Machshava, and one is the Taiva. So it's interesting, the same Esh that came to burn and punish those who were guilty of Taiva, because again, it says that Vayikra Shem Amokam Ahu Tav'era Ki Bara Bam Esh Hashem. So this Tav'era is a reference to the sin of Taiva. Esh always represents Taiva, the desire for pleasure, for lust. And that very same Esh is now being channeled towards the Hakrava, because the Hakrava is a kapara process by which man says, I'm bringing something to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and that is my Taiva. I want to rechannel all my Taivas, all my desires for you, Hashem, to be an Oved Hashem. And this is beautifully brought out by Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who's quoted here by Rav Elbaum. He says, "Misha yesh lo tshuka gedola letavas haguf, al yis'atzev bazeh." A person who realizes about himself that I have tremendous taivas, I have desires and lusts in a very intense way, and a person would be mit'atzev, he reaches atzvus, chas v'shalom, he's sad about it. Look at me, who am I? He says about himself, looking in the mirror, I'm despicable. He says, no, adaraba. You should look at it in a whole different way. Hu kli muchan litokef avas uchukas drishas emes. He says that this power and this chuka, this desire that you have, is a tremendous vehicle. It's an indication that you are ripe to rechannel these desires, these chukos, for drishas emes, for the longing and the investigation for truth. Use those same desires, rechannel them in a different way for the sake of truth. And in effect, truth here means the belief in God. The people of Israel at the time of the chet of the misonanim and the chet of misavim were guilty of a lack of emunah. Any misonin, anyone who complains, anyone who's really not acknowledging and not expressing gratitude to Almighty God for what God has given him, is lacking in emunah. Here Rashi says on the pasuk at the beginning of this parasha, which we referred to before, Lamed Gimel, at the end of Perek Yud, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yomim. Rashi says, "Shahaya Kadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Lach Nisam La'aretz Miyad." Here, the people were afraid of 40 years in the Midbar, but really, in truth, Hashem wanted their benefit. He wanted to take them in immediately, 3 days' journey. Maybe they thought even 3 days would be too long in the desert, too much Torah, too much Inui, too much suffering. But didn't they realize that this is all part of a divine plan? We always say, "Eretz Yisrael Niknes Bisurim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to minimize the Yisurim, make it a 3-day journey. No, they thought God could take it immediately. God is omnipotent. There's nothing barring him and preventing him from taking us into Eretz Yisrael immediately. But instead of seeing the goodness in what God was doing, instead of understanding that Hashem is always guiding them for their benefit, and even the Yisurim have to be understood within the context of a nisayon, as we saw before at the very beginning in the Chovas HaLevavos, to'elas hanisayon v'amusar lahem, Eretz Yisrael. You can't just have it on a silver platter, you got to work for it. Hashem wants to take you in immediately, al derech hanes, in a miraculous way. V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, just take the aron, cling to Hashem. Have faith in Almighty God, and then you'll be brought into Eretz Yisrael. Your enemies will be destroyed. But instead, what are you? You're the misonanim. You don't realize that God means it for your benefit. Even the Yisurim are well calculated, and they come from Ava. All you see in front of you is the Koshi, the difficulty of the Torah. And therefore, you lack in appreciation, and you haven't succeeded. The punishment is going to be severe. But as we said before, the Eish can be rechanneled, and there's a more positive note in this entire in this entire episode. When we think about the 20th of Sivan as a sad day, its shoresh perhaps, its source is in the general lack of emunah, of appreciation, of acknowledgement of the good of God, of expressing gratitude to Hashem, that's represented by the punishment of Chaf Sivan, according to the way we saw it in the Chumash, and the death of the Kedoshei Elyon, the Tzaddikim, the Chassidim, the Kehilos, during the Gzeres of Tat, Tach V'Tat, and other periods in Jewish history. We should see that within this day that perhaps is a day in which man has to acknowledge his deficiencies, his lack, his focus on what he doesn't have, perhaps even his jealousy of the way he perceives others who do, but that within that desire that we have to appreciate that here's the Eish that's going to be mechaper on Bnei Yisrael. Here's the Eish HaTaiva that's going to be Soref the Karbonos at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and later at the time of Shlomo and the Binyan at the time of Bais Rishon. But to see within this context the potential for man to take his Tshuka Gedola, all those Tavas Aguf, and focus on a Tshuka Gedola for Drisha Sayemis, as we said before, in the name of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. And in that way, surely this day, the 20th of Sivan, will be a day of kapara for us, for our families, for the tzaddikim who maintain us, and for all of Klal Yisrael. And we should be zochet to Eretz Yisrael with an appreciation that if we do have to suffer Nebuchadnezzar Yisurim, it's part of a divine plan. We'll come in with an emunah, and v'yirastich li b'emunah v'yadatas Hashem, as the Malbim says in Hosea, at the end, through our emunah, Hashem will respond with the great gift of yadatas Hashem, of osos and mosim at the end of days. Eretz Yisrael will be ish tachas gafno, ish tachas teino, will be able to focus on avodas Hashem. That will happen soon, speedily in our days. And we'll have the full-fledged simcha without any level, any dimension of misonanim, appreciating Eretz Yisrael for what the great gift that it is. B'mehirav Yameinu Amen.